Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
We are in time. Radio has picked us up. For those on radio, WPHM, and podcast, WPHM.net, welcome to the worship of our Savior this last Sunday of the first month of January, January 26th. And we welcome you to worship. This is service of the Word, which means no communion. And we welcome you to the fellowship of this congregation, either by electronics, digital, or by person. Now, no ice this weekend, thank God. No snow this weekend, thank God. As much as those are nice elements. We've had our stay for a while. A little break is appreciated. So hopefully the saints will gather together this day. I've been asked to remind you, our financial secretary has been most dutiful, executing her responsibilities and producing financial statements in your mailboxes. If you have not gone to your mailboxes in some time, go to them. Your financial statement, if you've not retrieved it and taken it home, is sitting there awaiting you. So pick it up today. Save us postage, because you're already here. Pick it up. And along the way, fulfilling her responsibility, Marcia will mail out those who are not here because of weather, snowbirds, or whatever that situation may be for them, so that they receive it. This day, Wally and Cheryl probably are listening to us either live on simulcast or podcast, or listening to us in Florida. Oh, I hope it stays cold down there. Oh, how evil of me. Sorry, Wally. He probably didn't even get it. They're far enough south. They probably didn't get the chill, the Florida guy. So thank them for sponsoring the radio this day so I could tease them electronically. Flowers. What flowers? Do you see any flowers out in the front? Three beautiful bouquets left over from our funeral this last week for Sharon Ruff. I think all of us who are present for that service remarked not only at the relationships of the people from work, from neighbors, from family. I have a photograph in the back that I took after the meal of the whole family, which is like one third of the congregation. So that is back there. But the sanctuary was full and went over to the transept. That caused my memory bank to kind of resource the last time that may have happened in such a degree. I'll take you back 26 years ago, Pastor Cho's passing. Did the service here at Our Savior, and we filled here, over there, and up into the choir loft. Because of his involvement in the Senate and Port Huron community, school district, and everything, filled this place. And I think many would remark and say, why can't we do that Sunday? I quickly say it's not 1960. People don't value church, worship, or regularity as much as they did back in the old days. So we're in the year 2020. That's real. So flowers also on the altar. Not anticipating a funeral which would dwarf them, but on the two altar flowers, Hope wanted to sign down for daughter Joy, her sister, our daughter Joy. Her birthday is this week. She's 35 years old. Good Lord. Well, wonder how old her parents are. did that. But it's also Cheryl's and my anniversary this Friday. We never aspired for longevity. We only aspired for quality. So we have been blessed to approach 45. Lord willing, we'll make it to Friday. It's been a struggle. Don't let her hear this. Our parents died so young in life, in their 60s. We've outlived all parents except my father, who is blessed to live a little bit longer. Three of the parents died. The children only, well, Hope's the only one that saw one of them. Otherwise, my kids grew up with no grandparents. Consequently, we have been married longer because of our longevity, longer than our parents. I don't know if you've done comparisons in your life, how you compare with your predecessors, your ancestors. But we live longer, and hopefully we stay married and maintain the relationships that are so important. Wally and Cheryl, Wally said he couldn't be here this week to do snow removal, so he sponsored it for us. Thank you, Wally. We're ready to begin our service. If you'll please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and the beloved one, the Spirit moving over the waters. Amen. As we approach the mystery of God, let us come in confession, trusting the love of Christ, crucified and risen. And so God, who searches us and who knows us, you have shown us what is good, but we have looked to other lights to find our way. We have not been just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. With what shall we come before you? Forgive us our sin and show us your salvation in the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved of God, you have not received the spirit of this world, but rather the Spirit that comes from God, poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven. Amen. Entrance hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We sing our hymn of praise, Surely the Presence of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
If
you'll join me in the prayer for this day, please, we'll pray. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into light and direct our steps in the ways of your goodness that come through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. First reading by Kathy Cole.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The northern tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali experienced the gloom of defeat by Assyrian military forces, but they are assured that their condition will be reversed when God makes a light-filled appearance. The joy they will experience will resemble celebrations of great harvests, because God will deliver them from everything that diminishes or oppresses them. The first reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as the joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kathy. Psalm of the day. We participate responsively. Psalm 27, selected verses beginning with the first, ending with the ninth. The antiphon is, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So we begin. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek God in the temple. For in a day of trouble, God will give me shelter, hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary, and he'll raise me high upon a rock. Even now, my head is lifted above enemies who surround me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifice in the sanctuary, sacrifices of rejoicing, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. My heart speaks your message. Seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. I mean not, hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And Gary has our second reading.
Morning.
Good morning.
Paul calls on the Corinthians to end their dissensions and share the unified outlook of the gospel. Discord arises when we forget that we belong not to human leaders or institutions, but to Christ. Indeed, the unifying word of the cross of Christ is the center of the gospel and the power of God's salvation. The second reading comes from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by close people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ really been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Gary. If you're able to stand for the gospel and its acclamation, please do so.
Together we speak. Hallelujah. Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom and cured every sickness among the people. Hallelujah. The gospel of the day, still from Matthew, because it's the one of the year. Fourth chapter, the beginning with the beginning of the liturgical year, beginning with verse 12. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth. He made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has now dawned. And so from that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, the one called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the sea because they were both fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets. They followed Jesus. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, his brother, John, were in a boat with their father, Zebedee. Mending their nets, he called them. Immediately, they left their boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. Now, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And he cured every disease and every sickness that was among the people. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. You may not have experienced God's word as I have in my faith journey, but I find that God's word speaks to me, even though recorded in words on paper centuries, millenniums ago. It speaks today, and it speaks for the future. It's not just, you know, Islam calls us the people of the book. I'd like to think of us as the followers of Jesus Christ, not the book. Ours is the living faith. It's recorded in Scripture that God's not done. God is still talking. God's word is alive, as the Scriptures affirm, as Jesus affirms. This is a living word, and it speaks to every generation, and even America in 2020. Let's bring it down. These last couple of weeks, there are a couple of families, after months of dealing with sickness and illness, are facing death and dying. One occurred this week with Sharon's passing. Another one is hate to say you're waiting. You're praying for a longer extension, but it's going to come if you listen to medicine and your body. But we are not people without hope. You've got to understand that. And a lot of times people say, Pastor, how can you do those services? The answer is, I'm not doing them. Believe me, I'm hurting. I like to believe it's God in me that keeps me picking myself up after each funeral and saying, you're not done. Death is still here. And you've got to proclaim Christ in the midst of death, in the midst of dying. And so I trudge along till I graduate, knowing that this word carries and sustains us with all the losses, whatever they are, divorces, jobs, disappointments, kids, whatever, all those losses. You can't stop. You just can't stop. You're not free until you're free in Jesus Christ, and that is not until the resurrection. So as the New Testament admonishes, labor on. It is not finished. So we look to the Old Testament. What does it say back then? What does it say today? And is there relevance for us now? Talking about a day of captivity. This is early in Isaiah. We call this first Isaiah of the three portions that Isaiah's sermon or long treatise is. And as he speaks about it, you know, you people deserved what you're getting, and that is punishment. You know, God warned you, and he's going to say it again, which if you're familiar with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and a few verses from this text, he's going to say applies to the United States. So you better listen. It's important, if indeed that's our destiny as a nation. He says, in this portion, not the next one, he says, you have gone through much darkness. It's not done. You know, one thing, and I listen to Christian preachers, I always shop the networks. I like to see what they're saying. I listen to a lot of this stuff. It was all fluff. I notice that the preaching's getting more serious about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I share that view. I think the storm clouds are amassing against this nation, against this world. You may sense that too. Regardless, this is today. This is what God has given us to deal with. So Isaiah says, you know, you're in this time of darkness, but the day is coming, and there's light coming over the dawn, over the horizon. And that light is going to be your salvation. Now, you heard that it applies to Jesus in the gospel text, so we'll deal with that later. But what does that speak about? He says your burden in this world is going to be taken away. That's good news, even if you're sitting in captivity, I would say. If you're thinking about your kids, your grandkids, and think, are they going to have to put up with this world, or is it going to get worse? Right? Kind of wondering what the future will be for them. But to know the God of hope and the God who keeps God's word is going to have God's judgment on all time and all places. You have increased its joy. They will rejoice for you, O Lord. The people will exult as if they have won the prize. The bar, which in ancient world was strapped to the prisoners that were taking, the refugees taken to another land. It wasn't bad enough they were conquered and everything destroyed of their property, but then a yoke made of wood or of steel, metal, would be put across their back just as an animal, okay? What a way to humiliate a people you have just conquered. Yeah. Those who have vanquished over the others, they are really quick to put down the opponent. Well, that's going to be gone. God's going to take all that away, all the oppression you and I have experienced in this world. And you and I can make a long list, and they probably wouldn't even be the same, of things that have held you back, kept you from achieving your objective, achieving your life's purpose. All the things that were disappointments, all that stuff's going to be gone. Not because of you, power of positive thinking, no, nix that. It's not because some government delivered me. No. It's not going to be because somebody solved my riddle. No. There's only one thing left. God. Only the Lord, who transcends time and space, can deliver us from our predicament. I spent too many hours, but I needed to. I was a political science major in college, watching now the trial of the president. Our opinions may vary or be very similar. It doesn't matter. Pull back from the event to say, what is going on in our country? That's all I ask. How did we let ourselves get to this point? It began in the election process. Throw in all kinds of allegations, kind of geared to both within the party and outside the party. And now it's gone full tilt in 4 years. And nobody has repented. Nobody has heard clearly, and I'm saying both sides, the other side. And there is no change of heart. What do you think God thinks of that behavior? I don't care what party you're on. You've got to see it from a God perspective. How did we get here? What is so wrong in our life, our values, our behaviors, our language, that these things get by? And they're put, what, 20, 30, 50 times on media to the point you want to throw up. Then you understand, we got trouble in River City. Okay. Second reading. Paul, writing to the church. I appeal to you, my brothers and sisters. Now, last week, in the first 9 verses, I told you he was being polite. Now he's turning on the grinder that keeps going for about 10 chapters. He is so annoyed, so peeved, so upset with these Christians. Yeah, I say Christians. Because of their conduct of language, morals, and behavior. So here it goes. You are petty people. PP. And that's not a powerful, positive thing. Petty people. Why does Paul say? Because you're choosing loyalties among yourselves based upon who was your spiritual leader. Oh, some of you say you were baptized or married by this pastor, so your loyalty is for that one. And then some of you say, oh, I don't know him, but I know this one. Or, I didn't like his preaching style. I liked the other ones and how they conducted themselves. And they were friendly, and they had medicine, we drank beer together. Okay. Paul says, you're too petty. Stop. And start acting like Christians. Who died for you? Did I die for you? Paul says, no. Did Peter die for you? No. Did Pastor Don die for you? No. Christ died for you once for all. And understand that there is no loyalties or divisions. That's the reason I get so upset with Christendom, all of us, because we say, well, I'm Lutheran. Well, I am too, but that's not a barrier. At the funeral meal, see, life is a continuous story of dealing with God and people. Somebody came up to me and said, oh, Pastor, I don't go to any church, but I go to a Bible study. I said, good, I do Bible studies all the time at the church. Just a little dig. I said, that's what we're about. Oh, but churches are involved with traditions, and I'm for the Word of God. I said, with Luther I stand. Word of God takes trump over all traditions. Maybe you've had a bad experience. The Word of God is supreme, absolutely. No apologies, and I'm Lutheran. It's the understanding we were not baptized Lutheran. How many times I have to undo people's brain thinking, oh, you were baptized at our Savior, therefore you're Lutheran? No, I'm Christian. I was baptized in a Roman Catholic church, therefore you're Catholic? I don't think, well, I know they, I won't tell you how they behaved over the years of my ministry. Many times when a Lutheran would transfer to a Catholic church, the Catholic church had to issue another piece of paper saying they were baptized there. Oh, give me a break. They were baptized, not under the Catholic banner, but under Christ's blood. That's the way we are. It's that understanding that our identity is to be founded not in human factors, denominational forefathers, John Zwingli, I can impress you with all the reformers' names, Zwingli, Calvin, all the ones that had to deal with the Anabaptist movement, who are now Mennonites, Amish. I could go through the whole list, but you know what? They're not any closer to God than you and I. They were humans and mortals, as Martin was, and only Christ is supreme over the whole lot. Okay, that's where we stand. Let's not make this complicated. It's that understanding that Christ you belong to Christ. You think Christ is in sections? You're his arm? You're his mouthpiece? You're his knee? No. You, the church, the body of believers, you must hold the integrity of the body. Of course, he'll use body later on in the book to talk about the body of Christ. So, you have to accept the fact you're in Christ, and you're going to be one whether you like it or not. How many times a child might say to their parents, I'm not yours. I belong to another family. No, you don't. Shut up. I remember how I'd break my mother's heart, and I didn't mean to. I just felt so out of place being so oriented towards God and not feeling that's being shared with my family, my birth family. I used to say to my mother, from my heart, wrong. From my heart. I said, I feel like I've been adopted. I didn't understand the language of what baptism is. Baptism is adoption. Now I understand what I was trying to say to my mother, not that I wasn't her birth child, but my orientation and my mind was set a different way than their way. And I hope you understand what I'm speaking of. I was not crazy. It is real. If you're in Christ, you have to pick up all the baggage, not just a few that you want to pick up, okay? So, Paul goes on to say, Christ did not even send me to baptize. He rather sent me to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And I don't do it, you know. Some years ago in my ministry, there's something, it wasn't internet, but something came across me in the mail, and it says, if this was a resume of the Apostle Paul to be your pastor, would you give him a call? Okay. And then it proceeded to say, every church or place he went to, he was pushed out. Sometimes they tarred and feathered him. Sometimes they called him heretic, false teacher. Sometimes they experienced calling him kind of the anathema, the satanic person presence rather than the God filled spirit person that he claimed to be. And then he adds these credentials. I did not speak with wisdom so that the cross of Christ may not be empty. For that message is going to be foolishness to this world. Take it back to I did not speak with wisdom. In my preparation for ministry, because I was grooming myself and the Lord was grooming me to be that person, high school and college got involved in debate, public speaking. I really am an introvert. What I do here is not because I want to do it in a sense that I feel superior to you, but I am driven to do it because it's true. So consequently, I have to leave my shell. And I have to come forward. And I have to do what I have been called to do in my lifetime. And in so doing, I don't speak always wisdom. I don't type very well, do I? I am human, and so was Paul. So the idea of this formation by somebody, I'm going to have to Google it, I guess, and see what if there's a resume for the Apostle Paul. But it's the cutest thing. And the answer, it's set up. No, nobody would call him. But God used him. See, it's not always what you see. It is what you were given. And then you evaluate the value of that. Many times the minister is put on that spot. True or false? Speaks for God or doesn't speak for God? And as I've said before, publicly and privately, I know of no other pastor, maybe except the TV ones, that has been on radio for 27 years. How many thousands of people may have heard this broadcast anywhere until then we were launched into outer space through the internet, podcast, and the simulcast across this country. And understand, if I'm a false teacher, then show me where. If I do not speak the word of God, tell me why. And let's talk on God's terms, not human terms. Let that be the standard, and that's what Paul says. He's laying his life and credentials with his church that is divided. I think we all have to understand that principle, because we live in a nation wonderfully divided by Satan. How do you pull unity? E pluribus unum, right? We put it on paper, dollar bills. From many, one? Oh, no, there isn't. We can't even interpret the Constitution the same, right? The lawyers are arguing that. How in God's kingdom will this nation ever find its real identity? Last presentation by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, we saw this last Monday. He emphasized the point, there's only two nations in the history of the world that ever placed their existence and purpose on God. First one was Israel, okay? 3,000 years ago. Second one was the United States of America. Those were the principles those two nations identified with God. Ask yourself, who's straight? And as pointed out by statistics, over, 13 or 15 million people have died by abortion? And you think that blood that drips from those doctors' offices and hospitals, God smiles upon human sacrifice? That's not my Bible. This nation has gone really far from God. Don't blame it on prayer in school. Good Lord, you've got to teach the prayer in the house. Don't blame it on society. That means you're not accepting personal responsibility. Every household, every family, every parent, when their child's in religious education and before we get them, and if there's no Sunday school, you do the teaching every Sunday with your child. Why are you counting on the church when it's primarily the parent to teach the word of God? We come here to be equipped. We go back to teach. Got it? Go to the gospel. Oh, it sounds like the pastor's raging on. But I'm telling you, God's word is so relevant. If you don't see it, please try it from my shoes and see what's going on. In the gospel text, Jesus is disheartened. His best friend, the one who started, or kind of like his ordination, he baptized Jesus, has just been arrested and killed. Some of the gospel says he was a cousin. Some ignore it, so we don't know what it was. Maybe he was a cousin. But he's executed by Herod, the enemy, for speaking the truth. Jesus retires and withdrew to Galilee. He had to do some prayerful thought about what's his destiny. I don't know what your destiny is, but you've got to do it with prayer and thought. Just don't crawl through every day and say, another day. But rather, Lord, what is my purpose for this day? Guide me, shape me, that I can be the best I can be for this day. So Jesus makes a decision. He left Nazareth, he made his end by the sea, and then he goes out to the land of Zebulun, and he speaks. Now the fulfillment of Isaiah, that which you heard in the first reading, now, 600 years later, it's coming to pass in this man, this person, Jesus, who sees his role and mantle that he's picking up. I am the one called. I will execute my duty. And even if my fate is like John's, I go to complete my duty. Now, fear of death, not fearing that he never got married, never had kids, not fearing what he gave up in this world, but taking fully his responsibility to whom? God, not people. Because of that, the task in the ministry begins, culminated in his death, surprised in his resurrection, and blessing us to this very day and beyond. Oh, wasn't it good that he obeyed? Yes, it was. His message was simple. It was just like John. If you take John's words with Jesus, they're identical. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Hopefully the message to the Christian people, preachers, and citizens is that this world has to change. Repent. Metanoma is the Greek word. It means changed heart, changed mind. Have this mind in yourself as was in Christ Jesus, Paul, Philippians. There's got to be heart transplant, brain transplant, away from this world and towards the kingdom of God. Or you won't understand the language we speak in the church. It's different because it's not self-serving. It's God-serving. Different orientation. So, repent. Why? For fear? No. Wake up call. The kingdom of heaven is near. And it is. Like the Apostle Paul, where he says in the New Testament, the coming of Christ is sooner now than when we first believed. Closer. And you say, well, that's logical. Yes, it is. But when we look in the obituaries and see how old the people are that are dying, you do that. I do. You say, well, that's in my ballpark. And that was younger than me. Oh, I got some more time. No, you don't. It's appointed once, but it's not identical. You just see it in the listing. They're not the same age. There's no way to know when, but to live every day faithfully. So as Jesus comes to two groups of men, he didn't look for those educated in the Jewish faith. He didn't look for those academically oriented. He didn't choose those kind of good people, people would respect and hear the kingdom. He chose smelly fishermen that didn't get washed up when they went in public. He chose sons of plumbers to present to the world and to academia that the way we're living is under judgment. God takes the humble things of this world to turn it over and say, look at yourselves. What you valued and treasured was wrong. Look among you, the poor, the homeless, and you're going to see God there. Luther and the Word of God will say, it's in the broken, the forgotten, the outcasts, that God is really there. So don't look in your big elaborate churches with fine edifices and people in great garments. Look in the lower places in society and you will find your God. He is alive. He's walking. He's talking. He's shouting. Stop it. The warning is so important because he doesn't want it to happen. If this was inevitable, he wouldn't warn us. He'd just do it. He should have been fed up a long time ago with how many generations of humans screwed everything. He's not. Our God is a long-suffering God. Our God is a God who hurts when we hurt, cries when we cry, and he laughs when we laugh. May the God of grace, revealed in the person precisely of Jesus Christ, keep us in that faith until we complete our journey and we graduate into the kingdom of God. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. For those on radio, Lori's coming down to the piano. We're going to sing one of the favorite hymns of so many of our people. Since the call of the gospel was to the fishermen at the sea, we sing the hymn, You Have Come Down, page 12, please.
a people chosen by God. We are people baptized in Christ. We are, and people who can confess our faith. We do. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. Oh, the prayers. Sorry, switch the order. I didn't see Aja, so Jane leads us in the prayers. I was trying to cover it.
Keeping awake as we watch for Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of promise, your reign has come near. Call your people to the way of repentance and inspire your church to bear fruit in the world through acts of faithful service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of creation, we pray for the wolf and the lamb, the lion and the calf, and all species of life that live blind. Repair and preserve ecosystems that all life on earth may be sustained. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the nations, teach those with power and privilege to serve the vulnerable. Give to all leaders wisdom and understanding, counsel and light, and a heart of compassion for the world you so love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the poor, set tables of abundance in all places where hands are empty, where stomachs ache with hunger, and where hearts and minds suffer pain. Feed and heal all who are in need. Today, especially we ask for prayer for Jerry Lucas, Beth Chittister, Patricia May, Donna Taylor, Scott Pike, Sandy Smith, and we remember the families that are mourning and grieving the passing of loved ones, Draven Erickson with the passing of his godfather Jeff, and the family of Sharon Ross with her passing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of hope, renew in your people all joy and peace and belief, especially those facing anxiety, depression, or alienation. Guide this community of faith to welcome one another, just as Christ has welcomed us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Hear our prayer.
God of eternal life, you promise to take away our sins and gather us in your care and live. We give thanks for those who now rest from their labors on earth, free from pain and the power of death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. You hear the cries of our hearts, O Lord. Fill us with hopeful expectation, and in each day, each hour, we may love and serve our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated, now we receive our gifts. In a sense, I feel like I need to apologize, but all I can say is, unless you've been blind in a left eye, when you turn to the left, you don't always see something. Right, Dennis? So I did not see her out there, so I wanted to keep going. So in the course of life, in the course of things, we are all human. The gifts we receive empower our ministry. Needless to say, the last 2 weeks, with attendance down, offerings immensely down. I need to remind all believers, and you're going to see it in the e-letter, supporting a church is not based upon my attendance. Supporting a church is a gracious gift back for what God's given me this last week, or the previous year, or sometime. Stewardship is the ability to say and to do faithfully, whether present or absent. The ministry is important and must be sustained. If every congregation in this country got that message, not just our Savior, every congregation, we would be a powerful entity, presence in this world. Rather, America seems to treat it like, if I go to the theater, I'll buy a ticket at the church. No, you don't. Do you buy your utilities when you want to, or is it just do you? Once upon a time, churches used to bill you. I'm glad I was never a pastor back then. They'd also publicly print what you gave in a year. Oh, I heard horror stories of that in churches. This is about grace. Freely as we receive, so we share. To support the ministry, as baptized Christians, we are called to be part of. This is a joint venture. So please, if you're absent, for those on the radio members, for those who listen to the radio, if you want to support this ministry, please. And I'm not a solicitor. I'm just saying, if this is benefiting you and you can make a contribution, do it. Understand God loves a cheerful giver, not a begrudging giver. Okay? Understand that. That's scripture. Now, we want to remind you, February 16th. What day is that?
Anniversary.
How many years?
100.
All right. And of course, 100. Now, people have been finding in this community anniversaries of 100. See if you have been told, I have heard Smith Funeral Home is 100 years old, the director told me this year. What other anniversaries have you heard in town that's 100 years? What have you heard? Some of you have told me. Speak up. Must not have been this side of the congregation. Must have been the 11 o'clock hour. Does leave me high and dry. There are a lot of anniversaries in town, right? We're not the oldest kid on the block. Oh, that's right. Yeah. You know, we're not the oldest kid on the block of Old Town. I believe St. John, United Church of Christ, is 150 years old. And they're still alive? What makes a church alive? Maybe to hear and respond and do the will of God. That's a big boom to getting it done. You will see St. John with First Congregational closing is assuming social ministry for this downtown area. If citizens, for those on the radio, if citizens need legal assistance, they can now go there. That was once at First Congregational. Once a week, there's legal advice there. If you don't have an ID, you just moved into town, somebody stole your wallet, what do I do? There'll be there somebody from St. Vincent de Paul once a week to tell you the steps to get a new ID. There's food going to be there, and some is already there. If it's an emergency and not the food depot is not open, it will be at St. John. They have assumed those things, and I asked Dick to keep me informed what else is going there so I can let the community know. We, the people of God, the churches of the downtown, have to be mindful of the needs and then the courage to respond. Tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, I commend to all of you who want to see Vacation Bible School restored to our Savior's ministry profile. Come for the planning of a meeting to do it jointly with the Old Town churches. This is the first time in history I prayed and worked for it for 2 years. Now we're on the verge and I don't want it to die. To have a VBS shared by 5 denominations. That's unheard of. Everybody wants to do their own thing for egos, territory, you name it. This is for God's people. This is the purest motive. Let's do it together. So join me, 6:30, Trinity Lutheran. we will be at. Many things in your bulletin, respond to the ones appropriate for you, dates and times. Please rise as we sing our offertory, and Lori plays for us Sanctuary. We sing it twice. Prepare me.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.